This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Morning. Are you being good? Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, June the 1st already. Holy Toledo. The year is halfway through. Well, at the end of June it will be. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Aaron Withey. He is with the Freedom Foundation. We're going to talk about how government unions divert large amounts of member dues into leftist politics. Are you surprised? Do the members know that? We're going to talk with Aaron all about it. Stay tuned. And claims by liberal media darling Rebecca Jones that Florida manipulated its COVID data. Well, that turns out to be in itself manipulated. We are going to get some thoughts on that. We'll tell you more about it. With the proprietor of the Barber Poll himself, a little later in the show, Andrew Sorese. And Hillary Clinton attorney Michael Sussman, he was found not guilty, acquitted of lying to the FBI in the Trump-Russia conspiracy. So is it a win for Hillary? Not so fast. We're going to take a look a little bit later in the show. And in our Ultimate Top 10, we're going to do something a little different. We have got the best movie filmed in every state of the union, and we're going to do it alphabetically. So today, you're going to get the best movies from Alabama to Georgia. Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, here it is summer now, and you know how you feel with a nice, clean haircut. You feel good, especially down here. So get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. You'll get the best haircut at the best price. You'll love it. They're located on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. All right. So I hope you all had a good Memorial Day weekend, and of course, that's the time we think about those that gave their lives so that we can sit here and talk with you now in the land of liberty. And we have to always, well, let's put it this way, we have to never forget what they did for us. But lots of things going on right now. President Biden was plotting inflation-fighting strategy yesterday with the chairman of the Fed. You know, I was watching a little bit of that conversation they have, I guess, before they really get into they turn off the cameras. And even then, Biden was reading something off his lap. Can you not just sit there for a photo opportunity before they go, you know, with the Fed chairman? He has to read something off his lap. It's getting pretty bad. I don't think he can, I don't think I've seen him recently just talk straight out.
Might have been the lunch menu.
You know, now that I think about it.
You know, Salisbury steak, mashed potatoes.
Yeah, you know what? There was a guy that came in and dropped a beer on the table. You might be right about that. But anyway, he's there with the chairman of the Fed. He hopes to show that he's attuned to the worries of the people across this country about higher gas prices, higher food, higher grocery, higher everything. Now, what's he going to be able to tell the Fed? You know, think about it. What's he going to do? I mean, he's not going to take anybody's advice to open up the drilling. He's not going to take the advice.
Let's see, we've opened up the reserves twice.
The reserves did nothing.
I know. That's what I said. We've done that twice. Now there's talk of the lifting maybe the federal gas tax, which will last a couple of more weeks, and then it goes right back to where it was. Instead of tackling the problem, I mean, it was day one that he changed everything. And he will not go back there and say, listen, let's go back and what all changes? Well, could it be that day? Maybe we should put things back. Yeah, that's just ignorance to me. It's ignorance.
Yeah. He won't do the things that it would take to start turning things around. That's number one. Open up the drilling. Reduce the regulations on the drillers. I mean, I listen to these programs where people call in and they go, oh, you know, those terrible energy companies, they're really trying to screw us. They're the ones that we have. That's why we got the high prices. The energy companies are all getting together to raise our prices. And I mean, they go on and on and on. It's a worldwide product. If you tried to artificially raise your prices, people would buy it from somewhere else. I don't know why they come up with that. We can drill and keep our own gas and energy right here. If we reduce our regulations and we allow the fracking, we allow drilling. And listen, we drill and we make the cleanest energy in the world. Now we have to go and get it from where? Venezuela?
I see he's going to, there's supposed to be some sort of a shakeup in his cabinet. I don't know what's going on. But do you know how many people would jump back on his side because, I mean, his poll numbers are really tanked.
We're going to talk about that,
Can you imagine how many people would jump on his side if he opened the pipeline back or started the production again on the pipeline and did those things that you talk about? His numbers would rise at least by 10 to maybe 15%.
People would then say, well, you know, he's trying to do something again. Because he made a mistake.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do that.
No.
No. They would rather...
Because it's not about country first to them.
That's right.
It's about the Democratic Party first.
It's about... There are these far lefties that think it's good to raise the price of gasoline because somehow it means that we're going to get to electric power and electric cars even sooner, which is nonsense.
Well, how do we get to this when you got to wait 3 years to get one?
It's not even that. We don't have the technology. Yes, that's number one. Number two, people don't have the money to go out, throw their cars away, and buy what? How much do those things run?
And you're limited. You can't.
It's just that we're not ready for electric.
You like to go to Chicago, and it'd take you 4 days to get there.
Yeah.
By the time you stop for 3-4 hours to charge up a little bit and go to the next stop.
I like to hitchhike to Chicago. I get there sooner.
It'd be faster.
No, there are so many things. And then it's the old story about why do we have inflation? Too many dollars chasing too few goods.
What started the inflation? What started it?
We're spending trillions of dollars. First of all, we print the money, correct?
Well, I know.
We throw all that trillions of dollars out into the market, do we not?
But I'm talking
about... It has no backing.
I'm talking about the products on the shelves right now.
Well, that's...
Are skyrocketing. Why? Because of delivery. The cost of delivery.
But it's a combination of ingredients. That is indeed true. But if you've got more dollars than you have product, the product price goes up. That's just basic economics.
But I'm just saying, these poor guys that are filling their diesel tanks.
And their diesel tanks are being filled at $7 a gallon or whatever it is.
I'd find another profession.
That raises the cost of everything.
I would find another profession.
And you make a point that everything that we get is delivered by a truck eventually, right? So, therefore, they pass on the diesel costs in the products. So, we're paying more. Inflation is also caused by higher diesel. It's just that simple. Anyway, we are going to, I guess you can say we're going to switch topics a little bit. We're going to take our break. And then Aaron Withy of the Freedom Foundation is going to join us. We're going to talk about how government unions divert large amounts of their member dues into leftist politics.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Wednesday, June the 1st, and we are delighted you are with us. And we are also delighted to have Aaron Withy join us. He is the Chief Executive Officer of the Freedom Foundation, and he has penned a piece which was in on the Fox News website a few days ago, Government Unions Divert Dues to Leftist Politics. Aaron, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely our pleasure. And you're talking about something that just drives me crazy. These unions and taking, and in many cases, perhaps without their members' knowledge, taking a goodly percentage of that money and using it for their own special political agenda. I think you you cite, for example, the National Education Association, who describe themselves as advocates for education professionals. And yet, what they are doing with some of that money. Tell us a little bit about some of the treachery going on with that.
Government unions for years have turned around and said that they do not use union dues for political purposes. But it's inherently wrong. It's inherently a lie. Teachers Union here, the National Education Association, they take about $1,100 a year from your everyday teachers and janitors and other school employees throughout the country. They're using the bulk of that money to elect radical leftist politicians, and only a fraction of it is going into representational activities. So, for example, with the NEA, they have a budget of about $380 million. $32 million of it is being spent on representational activity. There's $185 million that they're using to fund liberal politicians, candidates, and similar C4s.
That's scary. In fact, you mentioned that they only use 8.5% of their revenue for anything remotely connected to teachers and students. 8.5%? What?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
They claim to be representing teachers and students and wanting the best interest in the classroom. It's a total lie. Their number one agenda is a political agenda. So when you look and see Joe Biden, who says he's going to be the most pro-union president you've ever seen, and you wonder why, the answer is because he's received more money than any other president elected previously from government unions into his campaign coffers.
It's just, it drives you crazy. I mean, first of all, look at what's going on. We're kind of picking on the teachers a little bit, but the quality of the public school education, I think everybody agrees, it has gone down. I mean, it's scary, and people bailing out of the public school system. So whatever they're doing with those union dues, it's not working out towards the benefit of the kids, at least from an intellectual standpoint. Are there other unions you might want to cite, Aaron, that are also playing this game where they're taking a large amount of the dues towards their political agendas?
Oh, yeah. All the government unions are the same. The top four are those that represent teachers. There's two of those unions, the AFP and the NEA. There's the unions that represent state employees, county and city workers. They're the SEIU and the AFSCME. They're all cut from the same cloth. They're diverting millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into politics. But the real scandal is that this is money that's being taken from your everyday worker that was meant for them. It was meant for their families. It was meant for them to take on. They're members of the working class, and they're meant to be civil servants. But they're having about $1,100 a year deducted from their paychecks to fund an inherently political agenda. It's totally wrong. And the real scandal of it is that most of them have no idea that they can opt out and stop paying these union dues.
Yeah, in fact, I was just going to ask you about that. We're talking with Aaron Withey. He is the chief executive officer of the Freedom Foundation, and he wrote a piece for Fox News a few days ago, Government Unions Divert Dues to Leftist Politics. There are, every once in a while, you'll see some employee taking their union to task or to court sometimes, saying, you are taking a percentage of the money that I hand you and doing things with it that I don't want you to do, and therefore I'm suing you. I mean, you see it every once in a while. I don't know how successful overall that approach has been. I guess most union members kind of, they go, oh, well, that's just the price for being in the union, right?
Times are changing. You know, since 2018, the U.S. Supreme Court gave public employees the right to actually opt out of their unions entirely and stop paying these union dues. So, as I mentioned, a lot of them don't know about it. So what the Freedom Foundation is doing is running a campaign to educate every single public employee in the country of their rights to opt out and stop paying these union dues. And when you do that, most of these public employees will leave. They'll take that money, they'll put it back in their pockets, and the unions will be $1,100 worse off, or at least I should say, their political agenda will be.
Yeah. Do you think that'll force some of these unions to think twice about doing this?
I think eventually, it's almost certainly has at the local level in some states. I mean, Oregon is a state that we've been operating this in since 2015. And we've started to see the union's political influence decrease there very significantly. And in fact, that's one of the reasons that we're now doing this campaign in all 50 states is to replicate it at the federal level.
Yeah. And then you've got, of course, the right to work states that let's be honest, the union membership has dropped precipitously from where it used to be. I guess maybe it reached its highest point in the 50s or 60s, and now there are so many right-to-work situations going on, people opting out of the public school system, going to private schools. You would think that unions would get the message, you know, and get back to what they were supposed to do in the first place, protect their workers, put out a good product, you know, the right things.
You'd think, but they have shown no sign of that thus far. I mean, look at the teachers' union the past couple of years. I mean, they've overplayed their hand completely. They've kept our kids out of schools. They've forced them to wear masks. They've forced us into remote learning. And now even the most liberal commentators are saying that keeping kids out of school was the wrong thing to do. And the teachers' unions themselves are actually flip-flopping on this issue. I mean, their agenda actually has become more political in the past couple of years than I've ever seen. And the result of that is more teachers have left those unions than we've ever seen before. Because ultimately, teachers want to teach kids. They don't care about politics. All they care about is getting into the classroom and making sure that kids are educated. That's why they got into it. They didn't get into it to be, these radical indoctrination centers, which we're seeing in public schools today, at least. That is, if the government unions get their way.
No, you're right. And you know, every day there's a story about some school board trying to sneak something into into the classroom. I was just reading another one here this morning about it. But these parents are kind of waking up, are they not? Getting into these school board meetings and demanding that these schools stop, you know, getting into the politics and the like, and get back to teaching the three R's. I mean, I'm hoping at least the pendulum might be swinging the other way again. Do you think it is, Aaron?
I think it absolutely is. Parents have certainly reawoken the last couple of years. I mean, you don't need to look any further than Virginia to see the direct results of that. And I think we're going to see more of that around the country as we go into November, the November elections. Parents saw what their kids were going through with the remote learning. They saw what they were being taught, and they weren't happy. And then you have these politicians basically sponsored by the teachers' unions, at least their campaigns are funded by them. They don't agree with it. And the teachers' unions have completely overplayed their hand, and I think there's more to come.
Yeah, I think you're right. In fact, that reminded me this morning of the, I think it was a Fairfax County school board was pulling back on some sort of group sex education where the boys and the girls are grouped together and they're treated sort of like non-binary and, you know, all of that stuff going on all at once for these young kids. And all of a sudden, the parents raised a ruckus, I think, and they've tabled it or punted on it or something like that. So there does seem to be some hope. And maybe it's, you know, it's funny how things seem to work, where we take so much. You can only be punched so many times before you finally say, you know, I've had enough of this. And then it goes kind of the other way. I wonder if the Biden administration is listening.
They're tone deaf. I mean, we've seen that since day one. They're completely tone deaf to what the American people want, and that's at every level. But you have to remember with Joe Biden is that his number one campaign contributor combined is government unions. So he's not listening to voters first and foremost. He's listening to these radical government unions who are paying for his campaign coffers. That's why he's so divorced from reality.
Yeah, I think you're right. Tell us, Aaron, a little bit about the Freedom Foundation, if you would, so we know a little bit more about it.
The Freedom Foundation is a nonprofit, and we exist to do one thing, and that is help public employees to opt out of their unions and stop paying these union dues. Government unions, they're the number one contributors to liberal politicians in America, and they're taking this money from public employees without their knowledge. So our job is to go and tell each and every one of them to put that money back in their pockets. And if any listener wants to find out more, I encourage them to go to freedomfoundation.com, sign up to our weekly emails, follow us on social media, and if you're a public employee listening, then please go to optouttoday.com. which is where we have all of our resources for public employees that want to get out of their unions.
Well, it's a noble cause indeed. And again, freedomfoundation.com. Thank you so very much, Aaron, for being with us.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you having us on and exposing this.
Our pleasure. All right, Aaron Withy. Very good. We're going to take a little break. And then when we come back, claims by liberal media darling Rebecca Jones. You ever hear of her? She claimed Florida manipulated, and the governor manipulated its COVID data to make things look better for the state. Well, it turns out she manipulated the information on the COVID data. And we are going to get some thoughts on that and a few other things from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, TAN Talk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your TAN Talk radio network. SVA, improving your day.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back to Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for listening to us. So, Rebecca Jones. Now, she's on all the liberal cable TV programs these days. She was fired as Florida health official. Then she goes on to kind of changed her stripes a little bit. I guess she was a Republican. Now she's a Democrat. But in 2020, she accused the Ron DeSantis administration of pressuring her to fudge the numbers for COVID data. Well, it turns out that's not true. She was never pressured. Here is an internal report by the Inspector General Michael Bennett. Quote, based upon an analysis of the available evidence, the alleged conduct as described by the complainant, in this case Rebecca Jones, did not occur. Unquote.
Didn't she also tap into some files that she wasn't authorized to?
Yeah, I think she did, but I don't remember. it wouldn't surprise me.
And they were going to prosecute her for that.
Yeah. Well, she just went against... she wanted to start making a name for herself. Went after Ron DeSantis.
You could tell her from the start.
Now, CNN, she was a media darling over there for a while. All of a sudden, she's been dropped like a hot potato,
as it turns out. I remember on CNN, she was just... she was the butter on their toast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
we
like
got
that
him.
Lawyer that represented the stripper or whoever it was that was going after Trump. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
I guess he's behind bars right now. I don't know with that attorney.
The thing is that I hope they prosecute her or something, or we'll make her pay back all that money they had to spend,
I think we ought to go back to the way they treated people that did wrong things when the pilgrims were around. They would put you out in front of a church and put you in, I forget what they call that. That thing where they slam down the wooden things over your arms and you can't move.
Too many times these attorneys say, well, listen, we'll go ahead and sue them. If we don't win, you don't owe me nothing. But they need to remind people that, listen, if you sue me for something hideous like that and ruin my name, I'm going to sue you back.
You got it.
When it's all said and done. And there needs to be more of that.
Yeah, the famous thing, where do I go to get my reputation back?
Yeah.
All right, you are. Well, anyway, we... Better wake up, Andrew. We're talking away here. Andrew, the master barber, is with us. And Andrew, it's Rebecca Jones. Do you remember her?
Remember her. She's, like Ed said, she snooped into files and got fired. And you know what? She's just another useless liberal, lying like a rug, like they all do. So we can just push it aside.
Okay, we will. You want to talk about anything else? What do you think about... Go ahead.
You know, Paul... You know, I'm still been hung on this shooting with these kids.
Okay.
And I'm hearing, go confiscate guns. And you know what it is, Paul?
What?
I'm going to tell you exactly what it is.
Okay.
When I was young and I was in school, we had what they call hyperactive children. I happened to be one of them. Okay.
Why am I not surprised?
And I'd be hyperactive in school. And you know what the teacher used to do? She would call the gym teacher. And the gym teacher would say, Cerisi, give me 3 laps around the school property. When I was done, I was tired.
Yes, you were.
No more bouncing around in class.
Did you get a full lap around before you had to stop for a smoke?
He went behind the building and pulled out his lucky strikes. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I don't remember the exact time, but the ACLU and the pharmaceutical company says, listen, we can handle these children now. We have Ritalin, okay? Now they start in kindergarten. Oh, he's got ADHD. It's no longer called hyperactivity. It's called ADHD. We're going to put him on Ritalin, they tell the parents. We're going to help him. You'll be able to control him better. So now they're on Ritalin until they're about 12 years old, maybe 13. Then they outgrow Ritalin. It's not working as good. So now they put him on Adderall. A little bit stronger. Have you noticed that all these kids that are doing these shootings are between like 16 and 18 years old?
The school shootings? Yeah. Or their classmate ages.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay? These kids have been drugged all these years, Paul. I'm telling you that these drugs are what's making these kids go goofy.
Do you think that's the primary cause of what's going on?
Well, it's not... it's not only the primary cause, it's helping the cause big time. Mm-hmm. Because these kids, they might be from a broken home, or they're getting bullied, but they're drugged. See, they're drugged for this whole thing. That's why they're not even acting normal.
No, you're right.
Like introverts.
The one thing I've seen in the equation of these school shootings where these kids take the guns, they're all loners. They are all, for whatever reason, they don't have a large group of friends. And they have, I don't know,
their best friend is social media.
Social media, a computer, whatever it is, but they don't have a great social life as young kids.
Because they are drugged. Mm-hmm. And they're acting like zombies.
Well, it might be that they're drugged because their social life is bad, too. I mean, I don't know which is which.
Well, I'm telling you, one's controlling the other, Paul.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to look into.
If that's true, that these kids are on these medications and stuff, then that should come out in the investigation. I'm not saying it's an excuse for him, but by golly, can we at least investigate this thing? I mean, those kids that didn't. Hang on one second. The kids that were shot in that damn school, their bodies weren't even cold yet. And you got people outside blaming looking to blame someone. They want to blame the sheriff's department. They didn't go in here. They want to blame a teacher because she propped open the door. Let them investigate. And you people that are listening to the lawmakers that are coming out like AOC and, our poor kids, we're going to push control. We're going to push. You know what? They're so interested and this is so high on their list. They went home for the Memorial Day weekend, and you know what? They're still home. They don't come back to work until Monday. That's how dedicated they are to fixing this problem.
Yeah.
Ed, you're 100% right, Ed, but you know what? I can guarantee you every one of those kids have been on one of these drugs, okay? But you know what? You're never going to hear about it because the pharmaceutical company is making too much money off of it and the government is involved in it. So you will not hear that, Ed. It will not go to those drugs. It'll be everything else but.
I think it's a contributing factor. I really do.
Maybe.
I mean, drugs have always been around us. It's become, and now we're talking about, instead of, you know, the marijuana and the coke and all that, we're talking about pharmaceutical type of drugs, right?
But these are the kids, they're announcing their plans on social media.
Yeah.
I mean,
what I think Andrew is saying is they're under the influence.
I know, but Facebook monitors us so much. You can't even do a radio show and play a song 30 seconds in, or they will bump you because you copyright infringement. You tell me that nobody on Facebook can see when a kid comes out and says,
I think I'll go shoot up
a school.
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I could tell you a story about pharmaceutical drugs, but it'd take too much time on the radio. It happened personally to my wife. Okay, but these drugs today, I was watching a program. It was called the Happiest Town in History. And there was 5,000 people in this town and one doctor. And the one doctor had prescribed Prozac to everybody in that town.
Yes.
They are saying now that, believe it or not, 75% of the American public is on some kind of mind-altering drug.
Where do you get that one?
Be it marijuana or be it prescription drugs, Prozac, Ritalin, Adderall. Okay, people can't handle society. They drug them. They go to the doctors. I'm depressed. I need some. Here, have some Prozac or have some Valium. Okay, Paul, these drugs are messing up this country so bad it's unbelievable. It's a pharmaceutical company, and they got to keep it alive because it's the only industry left in this country, Paul.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Do you know an organization that fights these drugs? The Scientologists here in Clearwater, they're very anti-drug, especially prescription drug. But I don't think it's 75%, but I agree with you. It's a goodly percentage of people that have some sort of drug that's supposed to calm their nerves or whatever it is. I agree with you on that, and we are over-medicating people. You are right about that.
Remember another thing, Paul. Alcohol is considered a drug.
It is a drug.
No, then I'm out.
It's a drug.
This is why they're talking 75% of the people.
Oh.
That's included, too. It's a drug.
It is a drug.
Yeah, we're out. We're out.
Except my doctor has never... He has never written me a prescription for vodka. I've been trying to get it, but he won't do it. I mean, it's not a prescription.
Is there a discount if you get it, if you do get one?
I think so. You go right to the Publix liquor store.
I really believe they ought to turn this hyperactivity of these kids back over to the gym teacher like they did with me instead of prescribing them these drugs.
No, I think you're right about getting kids off drugs. And if it's as bad as you're saying, because I'm out of the loop on this one, but if it's as bad as you're saying, and X percent of every kid in every classroom has got some sort of a drug in him, we are in horrible shape in this country.
Paul, that should be your homework before Friday.
Find out what percentage?
Why don't you research and find out the percentage of these kids in this country that are on...
Yeah, but where am I going to get an honest description?
You can get about 10 different ones and make your own hypothesis.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. I mean, I don't know.
You're going to be surprised at the...
Let me ask Ed, because Ed would give me, I think, an objective. Ed, if we took 100, let's say, 10-year-olds, just across the country, we just picked 100 of them, and we put them in a room, and we went and we asked, and we tried to find out, what percentage of those 100 do you think have some sort of a drug on a regular basis in them? You know, in this case, it would be like a pharmaceutical.
I don't know about the kids, but if I had 100 kids in the room, I'd need the drug.
I agree.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm hoping that
I don't want to
low.
Say this the wrong way.
Yeah.
But sometimes parents use that as a parenting device. In other words, I can't get him to listen to me. How about we take him to the doctor and pump some drugs in him?
And you know what?
Get him off the Xbox and get him outside and play with his friends. Get the crap beat out of him a couple of times and learn some discipline. Yeah.
So, Andrew, I think you've been focusing on, like, to reduce hyperactivity. These kids get put on Ritalin and the like. Is that what you're trying?
No, there's no question about it, Paul.
Right.
I hear about it all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it's wrong.
That's what I'm saying. Research it. And like I said, by the time they're 12 or 13,
look up, Paul.
They are too big for Ritalin. They put them on Adderall. It's a heavy-duty drug, buddy.
Yeah.
Heavy-duty. I'm going to go back and just read the side effects of Adderall.
Hey, before we leave you, I want to change topics. Handguns. Biden made another gaffe. Sounds like he wants to get rid of handguns. Now, our buddy up north, Trudeau, the premier of Canada, is actually going to try to stifle guns in his country. Now, he's only got, you know, a fraction of the number of people we have. But can you imagine the control he's trying to pull off with guns and handguns?
Well, you know, Paul, I got to be honest with you. The Canadian people are sheep, buddy.
I think in a way they are more prone to accepting what their government tells them than we are. I think we are more frontier or whatever you want to call it, Wild West people here. Go ahead.
Look how much
go ahead.
I was going to say, look how much he shut that country down during COVID, and they didn't complain. Well,
yeah,
Paul, tell Joe Biden good luck with his executive order about the guns.
Yeah, well, but he's not saying the same thing as Trudeau. But let me read this. On Monday, which for us was Memorial Day, but apparently not in Canada, Prime Minister Trudeau announced a bill to freeze handgun ownership. Here's what he said at a press conference. What this means is that it will no longer be possible to buy, sell, transfer or import handguns anywhere in Canada. Now, that same day, Memorial Day, Biden appeared to suggest that 9mm be characterized as high caliber weapons and should be banned. Now, you can get a 9mm handgun, right?
Sure.
Yeah, they're very common.
The Glock is in 9mm.
There's no way that they're going to be able to do that. You can't issue an executive order.
The Glock is high.
Look what Trudeau is trying to do.
Yeah.
What do you think, Andrew?
Tell him good luck with that, Paul, because it's never going to happen here. And if they do, the Republicans are going to have 50, or the Democrats have 50 million people marching on Washington with their guns.
I think you're right about that.
Okay.
Look at that guy, that nut from Texas, Beto O'Rourke, going around trying to... He wants to confiscate guns.
Yeah.
He sort of got the mentality of Trudeau.
Just remember, the Second Amendment is not to be infringed on.
Right.
Whatsoever.
You know, it's interesting. I want to bring that up real quickly. People that don't that are against that want more gun control. They always say, yeah, but it says it's a well-regulated militia, and then you can have a gun. But the truth is, it's not what it says. It says because of the need to have a well-regulated militia, the right to gun ownership shall not be infringed. So in other words, you have the right because if the time ever came, you have the right to take up arms against a bad government situation. So that's why.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they're afraid of, Paul.
Right.
Second Amendment wasn't put in there to go turkey hunting.
Well, correct.
Maybe it was, because there are a lot of turkeys in Washington. Besides the fact.
You're right.
That's not what it was meant for. It is not to be infringed upon. It doesn't matter who, what, or when. Not to be infringed. Remember
right.
that.
You're right.
You know, police agencies used to have a thing called a gun buyback, where once a year they this was open for criminals.
Yes, you can imagine.
To voluntarily hand over your gun, even get paid for it. And they quit doing that because it was an embarrassment. Nobody would show up.
Yeah, can you imagine the bad guy coming in and said, you know what, I'll take the $10. You know, here's my...
I want you guys...
Here's my Glock.
Another thing. Remember one other thing before we got to go. Nobody's mentioning the barber in that shooting. And if it wasn't for that barber, there could have been a lot more people killed, because the one Border Patrol agent was sitting in the barber's chair getting a haircut when his wife texted him and said, there's an active shooter going on in the school. The barber handed him his shotgun and he took off.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he ran past a 19th policeman, went inside, got his kids, and killed the shooter.
Yeah, it was a Border Patrol guy, yeah.
That's right.
And so he was the guy that killed him, huh?
Yeah.
That's right. He was the guy that killed them, and the gun came from the barber.
Well, you know, we always say when you're in trouble, if you're not going to call a policeman, call a barber.
You didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't. I really didn't.
If he was in your shop, he'd have to fight through the cutout of Trump and then DeSantis and get around the flags and stuff.
He would have had that and a gun in each hand.
No. Andrew would have been with him going to the school.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. Hey, Andrew, always a pleasure, my friend, and we will talk again Friday.
All right. You have a good day.
All right, sir.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Did you see that? Did you see that shark that they showed on TV?
You were pointing it out. See, we have a TV in our both our control room and here in the studio. And I looked up and I saw the shark.
There's shark on the East Coast that is going up on beaches, and in about 6 inches of water from the shore, he's thrashing in the water, just daring somebody to step in the ocean.
Is this Jaws 2?
I don't know, but he's going around. He's doing the same thing. He just goes to the shoreline. And he starts thrashing back and forth, just daring somebody. Now, what we need to do...
I know what we need to do. Give him Ritalin.
No.
What?
We put him... Well, he's salt water. He can't live fresh. I was going to say, you know, the canal that separates the border.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I know. I
we
know
put
what
it,
you're...
I've always said we put alligators in there.
Well...
Because they're amphibious. They can go up on shore. They can patrol the waters. They can patrol the shorelines.
Well, the Rio Grande, I don't think the sharks would work. Now, you could probably throw some piranhas in there.
What about the gators? That's fresh water. I don't know how they got in there.
You know, we're going to get in big trouble here if we keep talking about this. But, yeah, I mean, I did look up when you said that. I saw that thing thrashing about
somebody.
It. I didn't
He's
know what
daring
was going.
Somebody to come.
All right. Going to take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, Hillary Clinton attorney Michael Sussman, he gets acquitted of lying to the FBI and the Trump-Russia conspiracy. Is that a win for the Hillary campaign? We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, So men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. And we hope you can listen live. But if you cannot, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. So you can go and at your leisure listen to any of our programs recently. You will know, by the way, who the guest will be by going to the podcast. You will also know what our top 10 is. Just go to our website, which is OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right, well, I guess you know by now that the jury yesterday found Michael Sussman, that's one of Hillary Clinton's lawyers, he found him not guilty of making a false statement to the FBI about Trump and his connections with Russia. Well, he clearly did go to the FBI and tell them that Trump was colluding with Russia when he did not have any factual information about it at all. He admits it. But he said, I did it not because I was working for Hillary Clinton. I did it because I wanted to be a good Samaritan. I did it as a public citizen. And so why did he get off on this? Well, take a look at this. The jury in Washington included one federal government employee who told the judge they donated to the Democrats back when Trump was running against Hillary. And another government employee who told the judge they strongly disliked Trump. Also, one of the jurors had a kid who was on the same high school sports team as Michael Sussman's kid. Now, don't you tell... Are you kidding? How did they get on the jury? How did these people get on the jury? People donating to Democrats and people that are directly connected to the defendant himself. So this is why we spoke about this before it occurred, that we were not surprised he was found not guilty. However, have you noticed also that the media is not making a big deal out of this? Why is that? Because they don't want any attention focused on the fact that it shows, even though this guy was found innocent, or not guilty, rather, it shows that the FBI was directly corrupted in its pursuit of that whole investigation, much less when Hillary Clinton was screwing around with a server in her basement. It really does. Okay, before we get to a very interesting top 10, Ed, I am looking forward to tonight because we are now in the conference finals, both east and west of the NHL, and we got our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning playing the New York Rangers. How do you feel about that? Now, you're from New York.
Well, yeah, Detroit, but I didn't really root for teams when I was a kid there. So.
No, okay. So you're going to root for the Lightning.
The Lightning are very well rested, I can tell you that.
Yeah, they are.
Very well
okay,
rested.
Okay, so I'd like you to make a prediction in this series.
It's going to be in New York.
For four of the seven games.
I don't think New York's as good as the Lightning. I really thought that the Panthers were going to be the best they would see out of this series. And they just whipped right through them. So,
boy, zip.
Yeah. So
did the Lightning win in four games? Five games?
I don't
want
to go that way. That's hard to sweep.
All right.
You know, I'll go maybe four games to one.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it. All right. It is time for our top 10. Ed, we got a good one here. We have found The best movie ever filmed in every state, okay? Mm. According to MoneyWise magazine. And we're going to go alphabetically, okay? Mm-hmm. So that means today we are going to go from Alabama to Georgia.
We got like three being filmed right now in our area.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when we get. And Florida will be today.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm.
You ready?
Yep.
All right. Alabama. The best movie they ever filmed was called Get Out. In 2017, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 98% critics rating and an 86% audience rating.
What year was
rating.
That?
2017.
Oh, that was awful.
Was it a, yeah, get, was a bad movie?
That was just awful.
That was
yeah.
a horror movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was all black family. Everybody was. It was an African-American movie.
Yeah, I kind of remember it.
And it was just awful.
Well, it was Alabama. What are you
going to... I don't care what the color of your skin was. The acting was horrible.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's interesting. Why did they pick that?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Alaska. A movie called Insomnia.
Hmm.
It had to do with insomnia. It actually had... I'll tell you what it was. I saw it. It was a good movie.
Okay.
It was... Robin Williams played the villain. He was a killer, a child killer.
Black and white?
And the guy that was pursuing him was, who the heck? I can't remember now. Who
it was a black and white film?
I think it was.
I didn't see it.
I don't remember. All right. Number, third one is Arizona. Psycho.
Oh,
1960, Alfred Hitchcock. Yeah, great movie. 96% on Rotten Tomatoes with the critics. 95% with the audience. Okay, Arkansas, number four. Sling Blade. You remember that movie, Sling Blade?
Sounds familiar.
1996. It was one of those, I guess you could call it science fiction, maybe,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Number five. This is California. Now, in California, I mean, what? How are you going to pick the best movie in California?
Right?
They were all made there. But they picked Modern Times. I would never have picked it, but 1936 Charlie Chaplin comedy, silent film.
Right.
Wow. 98% Rotten Tomatoes for critics, 95% for audience. All right. Number six, Colorado. Colorado was Badlands. You remember that movie, Sissy Spacek?
Yeah.
And the father of Emilio Estevez. I always forget his name. Anyway.
Sheen.
Martin Sheen. Yeah. That is correct. Yep. Yeah. Okay, the next one is number seven, Connecticut. The Ice Storm. I don't even remember the movie. Do you?
In about a minute.
Okay, number eight. Delaware's Dead Poets Society with Robin Williams. You remember that one?
Yeah, I don't think it's...
You didn't like it?
It was a bomb to me.
It was kind of... I thought, he has them get up on their desks and all kinds of stupid stuff. Okay. Florida, number nine. The Truman Show. You remember The Truman Show?
Oh, you're gone with Cocoon or something.
Yeah, I think you could have. The Truman Show. That was a comedy. All right. Finally, number 10 is Georgia. And it was The Avengers Endgame.
Wow.
Did you see that one?
Parts of it.
Okay. I didn't see any of it. Thank God.
I just don't know where it would have been. I don't know where it would have been filmed in Georgia.
I don't either. Anyway, we're going to do the next 10 alphabetically by state when we do our show on Friday. Thanks for listening. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. Gas prices go.